everyone. Welcome back. And thank you for joining us on the Live Unreal with Glover U podcast, where every week, Jeff Glover and his coaches will dive deep into questions that you're asking. They understand the challenges you're facing on a day-to-day basis and still work every day on the front lines of real estate, with Jeff and his team closing over 1,000 homes per year. In today's episode of the Live Unreal with Glover U podcast, Coach Nick Belmore shares the tools and skills we need to dial in if we want to increase our buyer business. He will tell us what we need to be focusing on daily if we want to convert buyer leads at a high level, even in today's market. Now, let's hear from Nick Belmore.
Welcome to 7 Buyer Lead Conversion Strategies. I want to introduce myself. I'm Coach Nick Belmore, and I'm teaching this session today because I was one of Jeff's very first buyer's agents when he started the team and was one of the top buyer's agents on the team while I was there in the early years. And obviously, JoLynn today is, killing it, and she teaches the Buyer Mastery class, which is just full of a ton of great stuff in it. I want to also let you guys know about some of the stuff that we have out there, some of our free resources that are available to all of you guys that you can take advantage of. Number one, one of the most important things that we find, especially when it pertains to buyers and qualifying and bringing in buyers, is going to be to have good, strong scripts. So what you can do to get a copy of all of our scripts, the entire script packet, you can go ahead and just text. And I don't know why this is 5 numbers, but for some reason, if you text scripts, and it's got to be plural, to 55444, you are going to get a link that is going to give you the complete script packet that Jeff has developed. And we really do upgrade these scripts quite often. So it's one of those things, if you are working off of a script from 20 years ago, 10 years ago, you might have basically the same type of thing, but there might be some small stuff that you can tweak that you can incorporate into what you're doing. So if you already don't have it, definitely go ahead, text scripts to 55444. And you are going to get a complete package. Number two, and I always want to talk about this, is the Glover U Inner Circle on Facebook. This is a great place for a ton of different stuff. Number one thing that I encourage people to use Glover U's Inner Circle for is to find role play partners. It's a great place to find people that are working a lot of times the same type of system we are, that are going to be script-based. And of course, you're going to find a lot of strong salespeople to work with when you're in the Glover U Inner Circle. So it's a great place to be for different tips, to bring problems that you're running into, but especially to find motivated role-play partners, and especially to find skilled role-play partners. So the other thing I want to talk about, and especially for new agents out there, is the Live Unreal podcast. The Live Unreal podcast is another thing that is completely free, and it gives you the opportunity to pick and choose for things that you're dealing with. If you're dealing with a problem in the real estate business, or if you're focused on a specific aspect of your business that you feel needs to be strengthened, there is probably a podcast episode directed to that exact thing somewhere in there in the podcast. So one of the things I love about it is, if you find a piece of a podcast that really applies to your business or something you're working on, you can go through and you can study it over and over and over. A lot of the things from our retreats and from the summit are recorded and put out as part of the podcast. So there is a ton of great guest speakers on the podcast. I just can't tell you how great that is as far as a resource goes. So definitely get in there and check that. Last thing I want to talk about is the event that's going on in the springtime in Orlando. There's going to be a ton of great speakers, a ton of great content, a lot of stuff that's in line with what we're talking about today. So if you want to get more information, if you want to understand about dates, timing, and pricing, go ahead and email info@gloveru.com, and they are going to make sure that you have all the information that you need on it. With no further ado, let me go ahead and let's jump into our content today, and let's talk about the 7 lead conversion strategies. And I want to start this off with number one. Number one thing I really want to do is take a moment and let's define what it means to be a lead, right? And we all kind of have a little bit different definition of what a lead is based on where our production is and what time we're putting into lead generation and all that type of stuff. So what I want to really talk about is, part of the reasons that we aren't converting leads is because they're not actually leads yet. They're just opportunities. And what do I mean by that? I mean, a lead is going to be defined as someone who wants to buy or sell real estate within a specific time frame. Now, what that time frame is going to be really unique to each individual. So an opportunity, on the other hand, is going to be defined as some contact information from a decision-making adult, whether it's phone or text or email. Great. But if we do not have and understand a concrete motivation, and we do not understand at least a somewhat specific timeline, then we are not looking at a lead. We are definitely at that stage looking at an opportunity. So we definitely want to go through and we want to make sure that we're being honest with ourselves about what is a lead and what is an opportunity. So ultimately, as we look at this, a lot of us are going to have opportunities that need to be turned into leads before we can go ahead and get them converted. We simply can't go out and convert opportunities into sales without first determining whether they are a lead or not a lead. So, for instance, let's just say that your neighbor wants to sell their house next summer because they're downsizing, or you met an open house lead and they want to go ahead and buy within the next few months for a job transfer. At that stage, we want to go ahead and understand those motivations and understand the timelines of those people. So keep in mind, if we don't have a lead, I'm sorry, if we don't have a timeline or we don't have a motivation or both, we simply have a future opportunity that we can start to build a relationship with. So nothing wrong with that, but we want to really go through and we really want to make sure that we're dissecting the difference between what is a lead and what is ultimately going to be just an opportunity to find out if they're a lead. So there's a direct correlation between the length of time that we hold on to a lead and how many deals that we do in a given year. So if we're in a situation where we are holding on to leads, especially 6, 12 months out, chances are that we are doing less than somebody who is constantly searching for that 30 or 45 day lead. Why is it quite often, and this is obviously something that can be sensitive for people, but it's important to talk about, why is it that agents will hold on to less motivated leads? Quite often, we're going to find that that's because they don't want to get involved in the uncomfortable situation of lead generation. They don't want to go out there and talk to those strangers. Typically, most of us don't really have a lot of problems with buyers that can't be solved by finding a few more motivated, active buyers that have strong timelines and strong abilities. So always something we want to look at. What's a good timeline? I mean, ultimately, that's really just going to depend on what your situation is and how many people you have to work with in a given moment. If you're an agent that is selling 75, 100 homes a year, typically you are going to be focused on leads that are ready to transact within the next 30 days or less. We're not really going to be looking out at people in that range that are going to be much further out than that, especially as we get into people that are 180 days plus. Quite often at that stage, we're not going to spend a ton of time on that. So one of the things I would say for this strategy is let's go through all of your leads, right? And let's really define who is a lead and who is an opportunity. So if you are sitting, especially if you're working off of paper leads and you have a big stack of them, one of the best things you can do is go through and start writing on your stack, or if it's in your CRM and you've made contact with them, go in and start making notes and talking about what their motivation is and what a rough estimate of their timeline is. Now, I will say this, and I want to put this caveat out there. Quite often, you will get a lead that will guard their timeline a bit because they don't want to make you think that they're desperate to get into a home. So keep in mind, you want to look for somebody who is going out, seeing homes, identifying homes, who's working actively with you. If they tell you their timeline is 60 days, that might not always be their timeline. Quite often, they might be looking within 30 days. How do you know when someone's motivated? Number one, they're responding to you, right? You're hearing from them on a regular basis. When you call them, they're not responding via text or they're not sending you right to voicemail. So look at that response rate, because motivated buyers love motivated agents. So that one of the things that I think is a really important thing for people is obviously go through that list that you have right now and have a real be honest moment with yourself of who's motivated, who's not motivated, and whether they belong classified as a lead that you're calling every day or every other day, or they should be moved on to an automated drip campaign or something like that. So let's talk about strategy two. Frequency and lead follow-up is our second strategy in here. So we find, again, just like we just talked about, motivated buyers love motivated agents. If we are making sure that they are motivated, then we know that we have to be talking to them multiple times. And if you find somebody with a strong motivation in the type of market most of us are dealing with, we want to really make sure that we're at least talking to that buyer every day or every other day. Now, today, I'm going to tell you, things aren't as they were 15, 20 years ago. We don't have to do all of our communication through phone call and take that time. Today, text obviously is a really powerful tool that we have to reach out and communicate with people. And of course, especially people who are at work all day, it's an easier way for them to be able to communicate. But we also know too how important it is to stay on top of the inventory in most of our markets. And what do I mean by that, by staying on top of the inventory? Understanding as things pop up into that market that it's your job to make sure that they get to it first, because we know that in many, many of our markets, 24 or 48 hours can be the difference between getting the opportunity to make an offer and not getting the opportunity to make an offer because the other 15 came in and they ended up picking something. So one of the things that we always want to do is making sure that we have a good amount of frequency in our follow-up and that we are keeping those buyers informed of what's going on in the market and especially the new things that are coming out. And if we're relying on our MLS to automatically send stuff, I'm going to tell you, we're missing the opportunity to reach out to those buyers and tell them. When they are getting things sent to them every single day automated from the MLS, it takes away some of that urgency. But when you call them in the morning and you say, "Hey, Steve and Mary, I saw this house. It fits all your needs. We got to get to it before somebody else does." And they see that, they know you're working for them. You are going to be in a much better position going forward. So again, as we talk about frequency and we talk about response rate, if a lead is blowing you off, if a lead is not setting the appointment with you, if a lead is not setting the buyer consultation with you, they're telling you something. We're communicating in everything we do and say and don't say just the same. So if they are not responding to you, if you've left two or three messages and you have not got that call back, they're telling you something about their motivation. And we've got to be willing to listen. Again, I come back to the same thing. When we see agents that are not paying attention, when buyers are telling them they're not motivated, why? A lot of times it's avoiding going back out to find those next buyers. So when we have a pipeline and we're constantly working on our buyer conversion and we're constantly filling it with new leads coming in, then we never have to tolerate a buyer with a weak motivation. We can go ahead and we can keep moving in those buyers that have that stronger motivation. One of the important things too is you should definitely be having a time, and every single day you should be doing your lead follow-up in that time. The more scheduled that we are with lead follow-up and the more that we are making it a point and making it an appointment within our day, then the more we are going to see from it. And I think we all know the statistic that 70% of our appointments are going to come directly as a result of lead follow-up. That's why it's so important for us to have it in our schedule every day and to treat it just like we would treat our lead generation time. We want to make sure that we're never skipping out on lead follow-up, because ultimately those are the calls that could cost us thousands and thousands of dollars for not making. One of the things that Jeff has got in here too, and it's so important, I know he talks about it a lot, so I want to make sure that I cover it, is you got to set a throwaway date. At some point, when you are not getting the response and you are not uncovering the motivation, we got to go ahead and toss them. Now, Jeff would say throw them into the trash can. Now, Jeff doesn't mean specifically your trash can, but what he's talking about is putting them in a CRM and allowing that computer and that AI to follow up for you, so that you're putting your time and your energy into those buyers that are the most motivated. So that, I think, is obviously one of the really important things. The most important about this process is to really have that trash can mentality, because if you are holding these leads, if you are collecting these leads, what ends up happening eventually is that we see that the good leads get covered up by the bad leads. What do I mean by that? When we have so many people on there, and especially if they don't have a strong motivation, they don't have a strong timeline or strong ability, that jumble starts to get in there and we can't effectively follow up when it starts to get to that many people. So we start to lose the people that are going to be the most motivated. When we find out that they are not motivated, that's the moment we want to switch them into that CRM, let that computer do the work for us. And then what happens is eventually they'll start interacting. They'll respond, or you'll see you've got a high open rate, and that's the time to go ahead and make that conversion over into a conversation. And then from there, you can understand that ability, that motivation, that timeline. Okay. So next I want to talk about strategy 3, and we want to get into some methods here. When we talk about methods, we want to talk about the ways that we're trying to reach the lead. And I know there's obviously a lot of fancy technology, and we're going to get into some of that stuff, but we're going to talk a little bit about some of the classic methods here that we're using to convert leads, you know, even in today's market. And some of it's going to seem kind of basic, but we know that it's the basics and the fundamentals in anything that are typically going to deliver us the best results over and over and over again. So when we master the basics, when we master the fundamentals, we're always going to be putting ourselves in a position to win over and over again. And the stronger we are with the basics and the stronger we are with the fundamentals, the higher our conversion rate is going to be over and over again. So number one, and I don't think anybody's going to be shocked or surprised by this, is call, right? It should always be our first and our most utilized approach, because it allows us to get answers quickly and allows us to understand their motivation in the moment and understand the best way we can go ahead and service that lead in the moment. So one of the things I think that we can't stress enough too is going to be, especially as we have leads coming in, when we're calling, speed to lead is going to be one of the most important things for converting. When that inquiry happens, the faster you are able to get to them, the better off you're going to be. Just the same thing. When we have somebody come through an open house, let's say, and that open house ends, how quickly are we following up with them? A lot of agents, I can tell you, are going ahead and they're taking their lead card and they're tucking it away and they're going home to hang out, relax, and take it easy. And I'm going to give them a call Monday and follow up. But the problem is you're not the only one quite often. And they're also getting followed up because they went ahead and clicked on this website and they went ahead into this open house too. And then they stopped by that one. So if you want to make an impression, one of the things is to call them right after the open house. Give them, say, an hour, and they get back. You're going to call up and say, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, you came through my open house on 123 Main Street. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I just want to touch base and kind of get your thoughts on the house and just kind of your thoughts on the whole process. And then what are we doing? We're entering into a conversation, which gives us the opportunity to then ask questions about the motivation, to then ask questions about the timeline, and then to also obviously understand their ability. Next things I want to talk about is obviously text. And I will say text is becoming more and more valuable than it ever was in the past. And I'll tell you, I started again in 2001. So then texting was not a huge part of the business. Everything was really about phone calls. And even as you go through the early 2000s, it wasn't as powerful as a tool as it is today. Why is it so much more powerful? Because people today are more apt to read a text than they are to answer a phone call, especially if they're in public or in a loud area or something like that. Or quite often, if they simply don't recognize the number today, people do not answer the phone like they used to. So we want to be able to utilize text because it's very rare. And I want to say the statistics come out to 98% of texts that are sent get read. Does that mean they're responded to? No, not always. But you're still going to get your message out there via text, and it gives the opportunity. What's the other thing too? It's not considered off-putting to answer a text several hours later. So when you send that text and you haven't heard for hours, but now all of a sudden that buyer's back at the house and things have calmed down and the kids are put to bed, they're more than happy to go ahead. Even late at night, quite often, you're going to get texts that are going to come through and be inquiries. And they don't always need to. Obviously, things come in past hours. You might not be responding, but you could also set yourself apart from those other agents by being able to have that conversation. Ultimately, though, we really want to be using text as a way to go ahead and push us into a phone conversation. Why? Because it's easy for us to use two things in a phone conversation. Number one, our words, but number two, the tonality. And of course, we can understand a lot. We all know about texts getting misrepresented or, man, she sent me this text. It sounded like she was mad. And then all of a sudden, yeah, I don't know. Why would you think I'm mad? I didn't mean anything by that. So we know a lot can get lost in translation with text. So really what we want to do is use text to get into a conversation and to start a conversation or even to set an appointment for a conversation. A lot of times I'm able to respond via text like, hey, what would be a good time to talk? Oh, I get out of work at 4. Now I at least understand when would be a good time to get a hold of you. Does that mean I'm always going to get a hold of somebody? No, which is why we're calling a lot of times 2-3 times a day when a lead is new, right? We want to really push making that contact. Sometimes people will inquire and they know they're going to get a call, so they're specifically not going to answer. Let's give it a 2-3 hours and we're going to follow up again quite often that if the lead came in that morning, it's rare if we continue to call that we will not get somebody on the phone by that evening. So obviously this is just really important getting through. One of the things I think, it's got to be on the list, but ultimately, email is probably one of our least effective ways to follow up. Now, some people will prefer to communicate via email, but a lot of times I think we find that people who are communicating via email are often less motivated. If they only want to email back and forth with you and they're not willing to hop on the phone, there's probably a good chance that they are not super motivated and your time in follow-up might be better spent somewhere else. Now, great way, though, to go ahead and ask directly for that timeline. You're emailing back and forth, and it's so easy to say, yeah, there's so much stuff out here for you. When do you guys think you want to be into a home? Now, again, this is something nice and easy to let you know what is their time frame and where do I place them on the hierarchy of the leads that I have right now. Strategy 4. One of the things that I want to talk about with strategy 4 is we want to look at some of the most effective tools that Jeff has been using and a lot of our coaching clients, our one-on-ones are using. So I'm going to kind of go over these kind of quick just because we are starting to run a little bit behind on time. Number one, when we're working with buyers and we really want to stand out, obviously sending them properties proactively, right? This is something we kind of touched on a little bit early, but if all people are doing is just kind of waiting for that stuff to come in on the automated email, and how do they know? Because a lot of times they're seeing it come in at midnight or 12:01, right? That's when a lot of MLS, at least here in West Michigan, that's when our MLS will auto send the stuff that has come through. So that's one thing. And absolutely, they will go through and look at it, especially motivated buyers. But when you call them and you say, hey, what about this house? What do you think about that? Without a doubt, you're going to be standing out. It's going to be totally a better experience for them. Number two, I want to talk about is identifying off-market properties. When we are in a market, especially like my market here in West Michigan, we are just scrapping to get into everything. Inventory is so low. So when you are presenting your buyer with off-market opportunities that other people don't have, number one, they're excited because there's less competition. Right? I mean, ultimately, that's one of their situations where that seller probably doesn't have as many eyes on that property. So it gives your buyer a better chance. And of course, what do they care about the most? It gives them the most choice, right? That's what buyers feel often that they're lacking is a good amount of choice in today's market. So obviously really important. And I'm going to breeze through this too, because it takes a little bit of time, but I think it's so important is having a buyer consultation. Now, we could do a full 30-45 minute presentation on just the buyer consultation and everything it's going to have into it and why we want to do it. But I just want to touch on some of the highlights of it. Number one, it gives you the opportunity to really stand out at this point, to show your value to those buyers by setting them up into a buyer consultation. The other thing that it does, and it's really a huge advantage in my opinion, is it allows you to set the expectations. It allows you to have a conversation about what's going on in the market, what it takes to win, and what the different properties are. Now, obviously, I think we all understand that different buyers have a different amount of buying power in this market based on their situation. I mean, obviously, you know, the cash buyer is king with no contingency. And we know that the buyers that have some of the down payment assistance programs and that stuff are struggling, especially if you need to get a seller concession to close in this market. It's going to be a tough situation, but it gives us the opportunity to set those expectations with our buyers, to have a conversation about the market so that when they come into the market, they're not hit by surprise by the conditions that are going on and how competitive it can be for a buyer out there in today's market. And obviously, one of the things that gives you the opportunity to do is to really show them your competitive advantage. Why do they want to work with you, and what is the benefit of working with you? One of the things that, you know, again, I've talked about this before, but as we look at the olden days, it was that we were the gateway to listings. That was the agent's role. If you go back to early 2000s and the late 90s, if somebody wanted listings, they had to contact an agent and then usually meet, or that agent would drop the listings off to them. Today, obviously, that's not the case, right? We have about 5 billion websites out there that are willing to show you every home on the market with IDX stuff out there. Every one of us, for the most part, has every single listing in the world at people's fingertips on websites out there today. So that's not really the position we play anymore as far as the gateway to listings. What are we now? We're the trusted advisor. We are the advocate. We are the guide, and these things are more important in some ways than introducing them to inventory. But there still is a place, because the marketplace is filled with inventory and it's constantly changing. And a lot of times they're dealing with their families, they're dealing with their jobs. There's 8 billion things that are happening and going on in those buyers' life. And for us to be able to be really shopping in a second pair of eyes for them, and then presenting options, maybe even presenting options that they weren't originally looking at that still could fit for them. In today's market, there's so little choice sometimes for buyers that there can be a ton of value in presenting them different options that are available to them, especially if they don't have the time to comb the market every day. That being said, if you have that buyer that is combing the market every single day and sending you houses and asking you about it, congratulations, you have a great motivated buyer. So that's one of those things where when somebody is actively calling me and actively following the market, discussing it with me on a daily basis, I know that's somebody I'm probably going to have under contract fairly soon. So got to love that. Number 5, I want to touch base on and talk about a little bit is huge. Scripts and skills, right? And, you know, obviously, this is a Glover U breakout session. So, of course, we're going to talk a little bit about scripts and skills. How powerful are your tools for converting leads? It really comes down to how strong are your sales skills. And we know that the more we're practicing, the more time that we're putting working on those skills, the more we're going to get in conversion, the higher our conversion rates are going to be. One of the things, too, that I think goes in with scripts and skills just the same is, do you know the numbers in your marketplace? And are you sharing that with your buyers on a regular basis? What are the numbers ultimately, too, in your area? What are the numbers that are important to buyer? Obviously, one of the biggest numbers that we talk about a lot is inventory, right? How many homes are for sale? And one of the ways that we gauge that is our absorption rate. What does the absorption rate mean, and how do we convey that to a buyer? Well, the absorption rate is going to be how many homes in a given marketplace are being bought in a consistent basis. So let's say this. Let's say in our marketplace, just to keep our numbers easy, let's just say that 10 homes are selling every single month, right? So if we had 10 and we only have 10 on the market, In 1 month, all of our inventory is gone, provided no more homes come on the market. Meaning that at that stage, we have 1 month's worth of inventory. Now, in my market, that's right about where we are. We have about 1 month, 1.2 months worth of inventory. That's definitely going to be considered to be a low inventory market at that stage. And we want to be able to keep up with those numbers, explain it to those buyers, and let them know, obviously. One of the other things that I always like to keep buyers informed on is, number one, where are we seeing monthly sales? How many homes are going under contract on a regular basis? Because we want to obviously do a couple things. Number one, we want to keep buyers informed. But number two, it's a way for us to create urgency. Because as they see this fast turnover in a low inventory market, I think buyers innately start to understand that time is of the essence. When they see something that is quality, they have to act on it immediately. And we know this again as agents, but we have to, the public doesn't always know this. And quite frankly, a lot of times people, and I think we've all dealt with this situation, they're getting advice from well-meaning family members that might not honestly be well-versed in what the numbers of the market is, right? We have Aunt Gertrude and Uncle Ben are going to say, hey, guess what, guys? You know, when we want our offer, we told them 10,000 less and we stuck to our guns and they took it. And, you know, great. In 2011, that might have been something that we could have done. But in our market today, we want the buyers to understand what the conditions are. So when they're getting advice that may not serve them well in our marketplace, that they are not going to lean on that advice as much. And they're going to start to look at the facts, the figures, and the numbers that you've been giving them on a regular basis. One of the other things that I always include in there is our list to sale ratio in our marketplace. So that's one of the things, and a lot of us in marketplaces that are really tight on inventory can see 101, 102% list to sale ratios, which historically, at least for us, that's record, right? We're seeing higher list to sale ratios, at least here in West Michigan, than we have in markets in the past. So with that being the case, we always want to go ahead and we want to let people know about that so that they have the information they need to go ahead and compete. Strategy six. Now, you know, here again, you know, the stuff that we talk about is a strong CRM. That's funny because Jeff obviously looks at the CRM as a place to go for automated follow-up. And that is true, right? We're not looking for the CRM to convert, but we do want to use our CRM to stay top of mind. One of the things that I think we find with buyers quite often is that their motivation will mature over time. What do I mean by their motivation will mature? Quite often you'll see that buyers come in and they might think that they're going to wait this long, but all of a sudden something happens and it's time to buy. Either the neighbors are next door moved in and they're constantly outside making noise and something's disturbed it, or job transfer happened and now the commute is a little bit longer. But what we will see a lot of times is buyers' motivation will change. And that's where our CRM really can take hold for us, because when that motivation does start to change, we're going to notice a higher open rate and a higher rate of interaction from those buyer prospects in that moment. So if we see a buyer hasn't been opening, especially through our automated emails when we're talking about inventory, and then all of a sudden we're getting notifications over and over that this buyer is looking at our stuff, then from that stage, we want to go ahead and it gives us a reason to reach out to that buyer. And we can just say, hey, I know you were checking out the home over at 123 Main Street. I just wanted to see if you have any questions. I just wanted to see if you want to take a look at the inside. There's a ton of different stuff that a CRM can do for you. But honestly, and this is one of the things that I want to be totally clear on, one of the things it can't do is convert, right? It can put the hand up and we can go ahead, but it takes a conversation to convert it from a prospect into a lead. So it'll go ahead and identify it for us, but from there, we want to just make sure that we're the ones that are going to be putting in that time, understanding that motivation, having that conversation with them. Strategy seven, and last but not least, Kate's number one favorite, accountability. Accountability towards your goal. And what do I mean when I say accountability? You might be thinking, hey, this isn't really a strategy, but if you quite simply have a strong why, and you are taking action on a regular basis. If that action includes, of course, I always talk about when we talk about accountability, we want to look at the big four, right? We want to talk about the time that we spend putting in for our lead generation. We want to talk about the time that we spend practicing, right? Practice is a big part of what we should be doing, even seasoned agents. If you've been in this business for 10, 15, 20 years, it's not one of those things where we can learn it and forget it. If you're working lead conversion all the time, you need to be practicing that lead conversion. If you especially are spending money on leads, then do you not want to put in the most amount of skill so that you are guarding that money and that return on the investment? It makes sense if we're going out and we're practicing every day so that we're better and better at converting and getting a higher conversion rate. So one of the things I always come back to is in a training session I was at, the speaker spoke about how NFL players are constantly practicing. A lot of times they're working 30, 40 hours a week of practice just so they can play 15 minutes in a game. Now, look at the league minimum. We're talking $480,000. So when you're earning huge money like that, and obviously that's the minimum, we all know there's players out there making millions upon millions of dollars every year. But when you really look at it, they're all practicing, practicing, practicing for that 15 minutes of showtime. And so should we be, right? Because our 15 minutes of showtime are quite often at the buyer consultation, or it's on the phone for that lead conversion, or it's at the listing appointment if we're going out, you know, on the listing side of things. So let's make sure that if we're going to be out in these times and putting in front of these opportunities, that we've put the time and energy into our skills and we are making the best presentation that we possibly can as far as that goes. So I think that ultimately, as we look at these strategies, that one of the most powerful things we can do in our business all along is to have a strong form of accountability, especially in our prospecting, especially in our practice. Obviously, especially in our lead follow-up, right? I mean, because we know 70% of our transactions are going to come from the results of putting our time into our lead follow-up. And then obviously, last but not least, it's our presentation time. And what do I mean? When I say presentation time, I'm really talking about time in front of our clients. So as I'm talking about that, I'm talking about number one, the listing presentation, of course. Number two, the buyer presentation, right? When we're doing that consultation, but also ultimately showings are a presentation. So every time we're meeting face to face and we are involved in that presentation with that buyer or that seller, we want to have been practiced for that time because those are our 15 minutes as we're on stage in front of them. And what are we doing in that time? We're displaying our ability to help them reach their goals most of the time. And if we can do that over and over, without a doubt, we are going to win when it comes to lead conversion. So I got about 5 minutes left here, you guys. Is there any questions about lead conversion strategies? Any questions about buyers? Any questions about any of the material that we've covered at all? Go ahead and unmute yourself. Feel free to throw it out there and bring up anything you want. Anybody out there? No, any questions on anything that we talked about in here? Any strategies that you guys are using right now with buyers that you feel are winning for conversion?
Hey, Nick, it's Nick as well. I think one thing that has definitely been helping that I've taken from another Glover U class is the buyer power checklist that has been, which obviously goes back to the points you were mentioning there as being one of the tools for conversion, because as we all know in this crazy market, setting that expectation, like you said, in the buyer's consultation has been one tool that has definitely got from me having somewhat motivated buyers to either, wow, I'm not ready for this market, which is fine because I don't want to be, I want to make sure that they are comfortable with that and that the expectation of the market, and then truly working with those expectations of those. And if they hear, hey, waive appraisals, waive inspections, and you're still ready to go, you're motivated by it.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things. And obviously that's one of our breakout sessions that we have too. So, you know, people who are interested in that, I think we're doing it for the third session too. If not, I know everybody is going to get the recorded, but the buying power checklist is huge. And that is a big part of what I talk about when we talk about setting those expectations. And then gauging the reaction, right? Because one of the first things when I talk about, hey, you know, if you want to win in this market, we're probably going to end up making an offer over list price. This is shocking to a lot of people. Even though the information's out there, it's hard to for people to understand that that's really a necessity when you get involved in a low inventory market. And one of the things too that we want to explain is appraisal guarantee. So one of the things I talked about in the developing the buying power checklist is when we are in an appreciating market, we want to talk about that appreciation with them, especially when we're in a situation where they are going to end up paying higher than list price or guaranteeing money over appraisal. And when you're dealing with an investor or something like that, obviously there's a different mindset. But when we're dealing with somebody who is buying to live in that home, there quite often is going to be an emotional attachment involved. So when they love that house and when they're feeling, you know, this is the time they want to spend their time, this works for the family, this works for what they're looking for, but they're concerned about that $5,000 or $7,000 appraisal guarantee. That's the moment where we want to sit with them and we want to talk about the appreciation rate. And ultimately, where we're going to be. And obviously, one of the things today, and I don't know how much longer, it looks like this is going to stay for a while, but low interest rates is something so big. Some of you guys, I bought my very first house in 2001. I closed at an interest rate of 8.25%. Now, some of you would lose your mind if you saw an 8.25% interest rate today. And of course, we would. But it's desensitized buyers to how low these rates really are. So we definitely want to make sure that we are talking about the two biggest advantages that buyers are looking at today. Number one, we're looking at the lowest interest rates in history. We've never seen better interest rates than today. Quite frankly, these interest rates are not sustainable long term. So there's no question that over the next 3, 5, 8 years, that we're not going to be in this type of environment interest rate wise for a long time. The other thing is obviously appreciation. Whenever we are in a situation that we are in a market that has extremely low inventory, we are going in high demand, we are going to see a big boost in appreciation. And it makes it a lot easier to swallow the bitter pill of paying above list price or guaranteeing that appraisal when you know your home is going to go up 10, 12, 15,000 based on the appreciation rate over the next year or two. So one of the things we can always do to help to ease that fear and make people a little more comfortable is we look, we talk about that appreciation rate, we look at for the last few, and then we extrapolate it out. So 3 years from now, your house could be worth 215. Would you feel bad about spending 5,000 over your 175 right now if you knew that was the case? And then talk about that appreciation rate. It's going to help people move through and understand that. So important stuff. Great questions, you guys. Again, I'm Coach Nick Belmore, and this has been our strategy about how 7 ways to convert buyers.
Thank you for taking your time to join Nick today on the Live Unreal with Glover U podcast. To get started on having an unreal business, take the real estate self-assessment. After you complete the assessment, a member of Glover U will get on a call with you to create an action plan to improve your score. Go to www.gloveru.com/self. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe. Search for Live Unreal with Glover U on iTunes, Podbean, or Spotify and subscribe today. Until next time.